which allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, August 18th, 2020. And I would make note that today is the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment.
It is.
Women the right to vote, yes.
And the world's a much better place.
Remember, I vote.
I'm not sure how that, comment was intended. It'll be taken. That's the, they've got the, all the signings up on the courthouse anyway, so.
Well, I knew that my birthday was on a special day, but I didn't know which one.
Oh, it's your birthday?
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
If we knew that, we'd all sing for you when you came in.
39.
Wow.
Again.
You're looking really good for your age.
How many cakes does it take for the candles?
A bunch.
Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
I have either.
I have none. Meet the department head elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. I think last week I announced we had, what, 898 absentee requests. Now we're up to 2,766, so they keep increasing weekly. So we're a little busy in the office.
They're like rabbits.
Yeah, they keep coming in, and the pile for incomplete ones keeps piling up, too. I just remind everybody that when they send their absentee request form in, if they get one of those that's pre-filled from another entity or another group or whatever that's pushing for absentee, some of them have the name and the address filled out, but the most important information that everybody needs to make sure that they complete is their birth date and their driver's license number, because a lot of people are just signing those, dating those, and mailing them back, and those we cannot enter into the system until we get all of the other information. So yesterday, all day long, I made phone calls. So contacting people to get that information. So it will save us if everybody would look and make sure that they have everything completed before they mail it in. Mediapolis School District, their special election is September the 8th, and the last day to request an absentee ballot or to register for that election is August the 28th at 5 p.m. So that's all I have right now.
When do you start voting?
October the 5th is the first day that you can vote in person at the courthouse and the first day that we can mail out the absentee ballots.
So. Is that causing you a lot of extra problems with these people sending these, you know, these other, sending these absentee ballots out, request forms, and then when the state sends theirs out, is that causing
a
problem?
But they're all already filled out.
Which ones?
This other group,
I don't know who's, I can't remember what the name of this group is that's sending some out, but it's in like a different paper form where the Republicans have sent theirs out, and theirs is more of the slick form, but you still have to put your birth date. I think that one you still have to fill out all the information.
So they're only partially filled out?
Yeah, the other entity, they fill out your name, they pre-fill it with your name and your address. But you still have to fill in your birth date and your driver's license number. And then plus the Secretary of State's gonna be mailing out forms too at the end of the month. So, and we have to check all of those just to make sure that, you know, whether that's a new request and if it's a duplicate, we write duplicate on it, so. Tongue twister today, so. But anyway, we're just busy with the elections, so.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keep busy like always. Nothing new to report, so.
Okay, thank you. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Was at a meeting first thing this morning with the Levy and Drainage District, so Vicki Stoller wanted me to say hi to the three of you. I met with them on a couple projects. And I guess, update. Mediapolis Road is still coming along. Should get the concrete approaches on the West Bridge finished here this week, and shouldn't be too far off of some asphalt, so I'm gonna hold off on guessing how soon they'll wrap up, but it's getting closer and closer and shouldn't be too long. So I'll let you know as I know more, but it just depends on their subcontractors and their schedules, and I wouldn't claim that we're fully aware of what those are exactly. So all of our other projects are wrapped up at this point, same as last week. So I want to mention a couple other projects that didn't involve us, but that are going on. West Burlington and Burlington are doing a project down on West Avenue and South Gear, kind of south of the hospital. And then if you take West Avenue, of course, it goes in east, kind of sort of towards McDonald's area. But that's mostly one lane, but I want to give you a heads up, because those projects tend to generate calls from folks to the south on the gravel. Sometimes people try to avoid those and they go down and add some traffic to that area. So, but that's not a county project, it is a city project. And they started yesterday, I was actually through there yesterday, and they were down to one lane and already doing work. So doing some patching, some reinforcing, and then some milling to try to smooth that up. Been out there, that's pretty rough concrete in that area. So and then the DOT they're doing some unexpected bridge deck repair on the Flint Creek Bridge on Highway 61. So there's a kind of an out of the blue one lane scenario there. Just driving by there, it doesn't look like it must be too extensive. They weren't sure what they were gonna get into, but so hopefully it'll wrap up before too long. But they are working on that, so there is a one lane project there also. And then I would mention that we bid the concrete work for the shop for the Iowa City Road shop last week. Between the shop and then the salt shed concrete, low bid was just a little over $176,000. And S&G Construction was a little better when we got all said and done. So we're working on a contract with them and get moving on that project. So that's just for the concrete work. We'll work towards the building itself over the next month or so. Hopefully we'll get a contract out heading that direction once we have an idea of time frame to see how quick S&G plans are working on the project. So other than that, doing a lot of ditching and trying to get some roadsides mowed and stuff like that.
I went up north yesterday through that one 161 there you're talking about. Thank God for Flint Bottom Road is done, because when I came back,
yeah,
it was lined up almost halfway up the hill. And I know I sat through two stoplights before I could even get through, so I just turned on Flint Bottom or Upper Flint and came on in.
You've got to be paying attention there, because that line gets pretty long and it'll catch you off guard.
Yeah.
Especially for southbound traffic, that line seems to get pretty, and you don't make it all the way through.
No, you don't.
Happened to me the other day too. So, it's timing, I guess, but West Burlington actually has North Gear closed yesterday and today. For just during the day to get some patching stuff done on their end, but that's not a long-term project and it'll open back up. So I think there is people cutting across there.
Yeah.
So you're right, it's good to be done and out of there.
Yeah, it's good to be done.
So.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Jared Glasser, Land Use.
I don't have anything particular to report today. It's been a fairly busy week, number of new inquiries. Over the last few days. In terms of subdivisions, we don't have anything on the agenda today. Possibly have two next week. We have one that was waiting on a fencing sign-off that hopefully should be resolved this week, and then another one that's now in its second week, and our review period ends at the end of this week. So we'll follow up on those next week. I don't have anything else report other than that.
Thank you. Janelle Nellie Long, Lawn County Treasurer.
Good Good morning. We're just keeping busy, working on property tax statements. I expect those to be mailed by the end of the week. So those will be payable, of course, in September and next March, but we're very busy doing those right now.
Sure, public's looking forward to that.
I'm sure they are.
Anxiously awaiting their arrival.
Is there any indication that they're gonna give them extra time with this pandemic going on yet?
I haven't seen anything. That all ended back in July, but who knows, you know? We'll just have to see how this, if it escalates and what happens. I don't know.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chanel. Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. We're all doing good, been busy, got the annual report done, so I'll be bringing that to you guys and go over everything with you here pretty soon. Other than that, I'm doing some extra training with the sheriff's department this week, making sure they've got all their training that they need, and so just keep doing what we do.
Thanks, Angie. Krista Pogomiller, public health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy. We've seen a little bit of an increase in our county. Currently, we have had 274 cases, and 118 of those are recovered. Schools are getting ready to start either next week or the week after, depending on where they're at in the area. The rolling 14-day percentage at this point is 12.7, so really want to encourage the public and everyone to do what we, you know, to wear face masks as CDC recommends, good hand hygiene, keeping social distancing, and definitely stay home when you're sick. And that's very important because we want to try to bring those numbers back down. They do seem to be slowing up a little bit, so I'm optimistic that hopefully we'll continue to see a decrease in those numbers. But again, really want the public to do what we need to. And then I do have a agenda item.
Thanks, Krista.
Can I ask a question, Krista? Was any of those numbers, did it come from groups? Like, you know, sometimes it starts from an organization or a company or...
Well, so yes, we see a lot of connection. One of the things that we see a lot of is if somebody gets it in a household and there's other members in that household, household contacts is a lot of people who, if we have one person in the household multiple times, that we will see the other members in that household be positive. But as far as any specific organizations or anything such as that, we've not seen any kind of clusters that way.
How about hospitalization on it?
Yes, there is some hospitalization going on. I believe currently they have, I think it's 7 of our county folks in the hospital. So they are they're not overwhelmed at this point in time, so they continue to have COVID beds at the hospital. But we do have some folks in the hospital.
Ages?
That I don't know. As far as the cases that we're seeing, we're seeing a lot of in that, 30 to 50 age range. We are seeing older folks as well, but you know, that's more in that middle age range at this point.
But they're not really sick, not the real sick ones.
I guess I can't really answer that. We've seen a combination. We see older people who have very little symptoms. They really just thought they had the cold. And then we've seen some younger people who really are very symptomatic and aren't feeling very well. So it kind of varies. Again, you know, there's not a lot of people in the hospital from our county. So, you know, that hopefully that means that they're seeking out medical attention early. So that way, if they need something, it's not to the course of having to be hospitalized.
Keep washing your hands.
Keep washing your hands, absolutely. Keep your social distance and please stay home when you're sick.
I believe they still got those boards where they have 16 regular beds and 12 ICU beds set aside for COVID patients negative pressure rooms.
They do, yep. Yes, they do, and they have those in the ER. So if someone is feeling ill and needs to seek out medical attention at the hospital, it's very important that people call ahead. Of course, if it's an emergency and you need to call 911, let your ambulance know or whoever calls for you. But if you're calling and wanting to go to the ER and you're suspecting that you've have COVID or you've got a diagnosis of COVID, please call ahead and let the emergency room know, because they will bring you into an area which a negative air pressure room, or make sure that you come in an entrance so you wouldn't expose everyone in the waiting room. So very important to take those steps.
Are there any statistics out from Iowa being the only state that held athletics this summer? Was there any raise in their curve or?
Yeah, I can't speak to that. The Athletic Association may have some more specific numbers. I know that there was events held. I don't recall hearing that there was a huge spike from that, but I guess I'm not sure about that. I could do some research into that though.
Thanks, Chris.
I don't like the idea they called off football.
Me neither.
But thanks, Krista. Have we got anybody online?
Yeah, I have two. Chris Lee, DeWayne County Conservation.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Just a couple quick updates for you. Our FEMA work, our boat ramps, I believe is all but done. I was up there, they were working on the last boat ramp up at Hawkendoby yesterday. They had the base rock down and were just starting to put on the top rock when I left middle of the afternoon yesterday. So if they didn't get it done yesterday, they're finishing up this morning, and that is the end of our FEMA work. Yay for that. That's been a long time coming. It's nice that the river's down. We've been able to get some stuff done at our boat ramps, and we have quite a bit more we want to do, especially there at Tama. That boat dock has been kind of a pain with the river being so high all the time. Our concrete walkway that we have is almost always underwater, and it, when it is, it ends up serving as more of a hazard than it is as a convenience. So with the river getting down the way it is, we're probably just going to take that out and just try to manage the dock the way we do more like Sullivan Sloughs, moving it in and out, or getting another section to where it can kind of float up as the river comes up the way they do at the boat ramp, the north boat ramp there at Burlington. So that's something that's on our radar that we'll be working on in the not too distant future, hopefully. And then last big accomplishment is our fish habitat grant. The project is complete. This was a rebuilding of a pond at our Linder conservation area off of 170th. It's just a little, I think, like three quarters of an acre pond. It had silted in over the years. And so we got a fish habitat grant to go in and renovate that. So we drained it out, dug it out a little bit deeper, rebuilt the dam, put in a fishing jetty, put in some riprap around the shoreline for fish habitat. The crew will go out there and add some trees, some brush piles, kind of in where the water's gonna be. And then we'll just sit back and wait for it to fill it up. So that'll be another good fishing spot. The DNR, we're already on there. Scheduled to have them start stocking that whenever that fills up. Probably with as dry as it's been, we're probably looking at next spring before we put any fish in. But this is very similar to the same project. We've done projects like this. We just finished one up at Big Hollow right there on the backside of the campground. And then prior to that, we did one at our Leopold Recreation Area there at the end of Old Dam Road. We rebuilt that pond. And so these fish habitat projects are really great. The funding for that comes from sale of fishing licenses. So those fees that you pay to go fishing goes right back into creating more fishing opportunities. So other than that, just we're staying busy in the parks. Parks are continually busy. Campgrounds are real busy. Big Hollow was full again this weekend. Fourth Pumping Station, I think, was only a couple sites short of being full. And so been some fantastic weather. I guess you can't complain about upper 50s at night in the middle of August. So we're enjoying it. And then we have a agenda item today. That's it.
Thank you, Chris.
Gina Harden, Emergency Management.
Gina Harden, Emergency Management.
Good morning. I have a couple things for you. I mentioned last week that the schools were getting PPE, or personal protective equipment, from the state, and that has arrived, and I got that sorted yesterday, and the last two schools are picking their supply up today, so hopefully that'll give them a good start for the school year, at least to get them started. I don't know if there's going to be more available for them later or not, but they all got a good supply here in town. I've had several meetings postponed, looking at the COVID response and et cetera, things we can do to improve our planning. And a couple of those meetings have been postponed. Hopefully I can get those rescheduled here very soon. I just received an email, and I'm guessing that you and Terry and Krista haven't seen it yet, but the ISAC has sent out a webinar on the CARES Act reimbursement process. So that is scheduled for tomorrow. I talked to Krista about that a little bit last week about how we can handle that as a county and et cetera. And as I understand it, the auditor is the one, along with the city administrators for each city, are the ones that have to submit that paperwork and et cetera. So there is a webinar on that tomorrow. Working with the local fire departments and the hazmat team on spill response training, we received a grant to purchase some equipment to help us with that. So we're looking at doing that training in September, hopefully anyway. That is our current plan. And the last thing I had for you is we're looking at preparing for National Preparedness Month, which is September. And with the derecho that happened in the other part of the state, primarily, really trying to encourage people to think about, okay, if this would have happened here, and you're without power for a week, and you not have phone access, and et cetera, how prepared are you? And do you have everything that you need to survive, if you will, and be prepared for something like that to happen? So we're really going to try to focus on that for National Preparedness Month. That's all I have.
Thanks, Gina. I'm sure the auditor is looking forward to that webinar.
I'm sure she is.
That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Don't miss anybody. I think Chris already finished our COVID-19 update. Correspondence. Did either of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I have
no. No.
We got some correspondence from the director of the Commission of Veterans Affairs for a sad letter. It said, "Sirs, this is to advise you that I will be retiring from Des Moines County Veterans Affairs Office as of December 31st, 2020. I'll be 87 years old in September. My wife says it is old enough to retire. I've been paid by the taxpayers for 67 and a half of those years, 4 years in the Air Force, 4 years on the GI Bill in college, 32 years working for Social Security, and 27 and a half in the Veterans Affairs Office since May 1993. After retiring from the Social Security Administration, I thought I would find a part-time job and work for another couple of years. That couple became 27 and a half because I enjoyed the work and I was able to assist a lot of veterans and their families in those years. I'll miss that. Sincerely, Bob Housewright, Director." That'll be a change.
That'll be a change.
We'll miss Bob. He's been great. That's
he spent a lot of those years on health board. I think of the secretary or treasurer.
If he's retired December 31st, I'm sure we aren't going to be able to find anybody like him in 4 months. Anyway, that's I'm sure we will be addressing that again. That's we will miss Bob. This that correspondence will be on file in the auditor's office and available for public review. We will proceed to discussion and vote. We have the first public hearing on ordinance 59. Tanning facilities and devices. Need a motion to open a public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Is anybody familiar with it? Do we have anybody from the public here? I don't think we do. There are people on the watching, so this isn't particularly long, so I will read it if you'll be patient with me. Des Moines County Ordinance, an ordinance adopting Chapter 641 to 46 of the Iowa Administrative Code for the purpose of regulating tanning facilities and devices used for the purpose of tanning human skin through the application of ultraviolet radiation in Des Moines County. This includes but not limited to public and private businesses, hotels, motels, apartments, condominiums, and health and country clubs. Be it ordained by the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County, Iowa, that Section 1, short title, this ordinance shall be known and may be cited and referred to as the Tanning Facilities Ordinance of Des Moines County, Iowa. Section 2, purpose, that pursuant to Chapter 641 through 46 of the Iowa Administrative Code entitled Minimum Requirements for Tanning Facilities, including any future amendments thereto, is hereby adopted and incorporated by this reference, as is fully set forth herein. Section 3, inspections. Inspections shall be conducted annually. B, inspections shall include the following areas: proper operation and maintenance of devices, review of required records and training documentation, operator understanding and competency, and the requirement of these rules. C, inspection costs. Inspection costs shall be established by resolution by the Board of Supervisors after recommendations by the Des Moines County Board of Health. D, inspection costs shall be due upon receipt. Section 4, training of operators. No individual shall begin functioning as an operator unless the individual has satisfactorily completed a training program. It will be the responsibility of the tanning facility to ensure compliance of training as outlined in IAC 641 through 646. Operators shall be at least 16 years of age. C, operators shall complete the required training and testing every 5 years. Section 5, testing costs. A, operators shall pay a fee provided for by resolution of the Board of Supervisors each time a tanning facility operator test is taken to complete the required training and testing as an operator. Section 6, enforcement. This ordinance shall be enforced by the Des Moines County Board of Health or its agent as required by the Iowa Administrative Code, Chapter 641 through 46, 136D. Minimum requirements for tanning facilities. Tanning facilities which are in compliance with these rules are not relieved from the requirements of any other federal and state regulations or local ordinances. Section 7, penalties. Any person, firm, partnership, corporation, landowner, or other entity who violates any regulation in or any provision of this ordinance or of any amendment or supplement thereto shall be guilty of a county infraction and subject to the imposition of a civil penalty of no more than $500 or other appropriate relief to abate or halt the violation as provided for in Des Moines County ordinances. Section 8, severability clause. If any section, provision, or any part of this ordinance shall be judged invalid or unconstitutional, such adjudication shall not affect the validity of this ordinance as a whole or any section, provision, or part thereof not judged invalid or unconstitutional. Section 9, effective date. This ordinance shall be in effect after final passage, approval, and publication as provided in the Code of Iowa 331.302. Did you get all that?
Yeah.
If Crystal would like to address this from the point of view of public health, what we will do is, after Krista has spoken, we will open the phones up for 2 minutes. The board, if any of us want to make any comments, we can make any comments. If there's anybody that's here that would like to make a comment, they're more than welcome. But let's let Krista give us the a view of this from the public health, Board of Health perspective.
So up until last year, the state of Iowa contracted Des Moines County Public Health to do inspections of the tanning salons in our county. Last June 30th was the final contract that was included. At that point in time, they realized or decided at the state level they didn't have the resources or the staffing to continue enforcing that. So at that point in time, they brought that down to the counties and said that we could continue to do the tanning inspections, but that would be need to be covered under a county ordinance. So the Des Moines County Board of Health is asking the Board of Supervisors to pass this county ordinance because they feel like without this this oversight that the tanning salons in our county may not even reach out to the state as far as to get permitted. You know, they're very concerned about people not following Chapter 641 or
Iowa Code 641-Chapter 46. The concern would be that they would not verify that the staff had been trained, that they would be concerned about educating on the risks of tanning. As far as the way this works is owner operators are trained, they come, they study Chapter 46, they come to the public health, they take a test on Chapter 46, and then they are able to go back to their facilities, train their staff, appropriate staff, obviously, no operators younger than the age of 16, but train them on the risks of ultraviolet, making sure people are wearing eye protection, making sure timers are working adequately, making sure there's manual switches, and making sure that there's compliance with reporting any injuries that could happen from tanning. So we feel that, and even the follow-up on cleaning and cleaning instructions, those are very important parts to make sure that people who utilize tanning beds in our community continue to be safe and be able to, those are operated safely. And like I said, at this point in time, the Board of Health would like that ordinance to be passed so we can continue that and protect the safety of our residents of our county.
Thank you, Chris.
Why did the state not feel the need anymore?
I think it was based mostly on not having the resources. You know, that they had some retirement at that level at the state, and they had an interim person, and once the contract ended, it was resources that was limited, and so they felt resources and staffing was what they told the counties. And then it was part of our grants to county contract that we get, and as of July 1, that portion was taken out of there. In our grants to county, we obviously get a lot of our environmental health contract that they pay for. We continue to do pool and tattoo salon inspections, but tanning was the third one that we, along with the environmental health, as far as water and well inspections.
Do you have the staff to do this?
We would be looking at subcontracting this through a 28E agreement with another entity that has already does this in surrounding counties.
And what, do you know what the cost is, or?
The cost for that subcontract by that 28E would be $40 an hour plus mileage. Currently, the Iowa code allows for $33 a bed to be charged, and so the offset cost of charging for the inspection would offset the cost of the 28E agreement.
There's five businesses and 12 beds in the county. Can they inspect all those in a day?
Yes, with the conversation I had with the person that we have the 28E agreement with, they're thinking in a day, possibly a day and a half, at most.
Because if they can't do it in a day, then that $33 a bed won't cover it.
Just another thing that the county can get pushed out on. It's a shame.
I mentioned this, you know, my feelings on this at the work session, and I'm thankful for bringing this. I know it's the job of the Board of Health and local health department to bring these any possible concerns they have, so thanks for that. And the state has no enforcement mechanism or any expectation the counties will provide enforcement unless the county chooses to pass some ordinance, the way I understand it. And I think liability exposure might be limited, but it's certainly not zero if we pass this. And I've got kind of an economics background, and what they call these are barriers to entry. You know, and there's all sorts of regulations about, my mother I mentioned was a beautician. She had to take classes so she could learn the bones of the hand, which have nothing to do if you're gonna give somebody anyway. So I'm not a fan of a lot of organizing regulations. I think anybody that sense a human being understands there's risks to tanning or being out in the sun very much. And in the current climate, and I think going forward, businesses compete on which one's the cleanest and most safest. That's how they advertise. So I sort of view this as just a burden on existing businesses, and an additional a barrier to entry to anybody that would want to get into business, just to make it a little bit harder. So I'm not in favor of this. I tell you what, set that for 2 minutes. Anybody that would want to make a comment or ask a question may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's B-O-A-R-D at dmcounty.com, or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll set that at 2 minutes, and we'll 2 minutes if somebody would like to call in, and if anybody would like to make any comments, or either of you gentlemen have any comments.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yep. The figure $40 a day plus mileage, that was for point.
That's what Russ would charge.
Yes.
Would charge the county. Like if there's 12 beds, the most the Code of Iowa lets you charge them is $33 a bed, up to $360 per business. So that'd be $396. So 8 times 40 is 320, and then mileage of 55 cents. So they'd have to hit everything in Burlington and in Des Moines County in a day.
40 per bed per day.
No,
per
no,
hour.
Russ would charge the county $40 an hour to do the inspection.
Okay.
Plus mileage, and the state of Iowa allows the county to charge, or us to charge the business $33 a bed, up to $360 per establishment.
Would that go on a, would there be a regular route then for them, or a regular inspection date?
There would be, yes. Generally, it's done annually, so it's always done within that 12-month cycle.
Couldn't be on a complaint basis.
It could also be on a complaint basis, if necessary.
I think, in my opinion, I think it would make more sense on a regular.
It's going to cost us $7 an hour, basically, what it's going to cost the county, plus mileage, after they recoup the $33.
Well, they charge us by the hour. We charge them by the bed.
Yeah, by the bed.
Yeah. So the most we can charge is $396 if they hit all after they hit all 12 bids. It's currently
2 minutes is up.
Did you receive, not to interrupt you, did you receive any written or email comments?
No, I did not.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
So a person that does a really good job of running the bed has to pay money to get inspected.
Every business would have to pay to get inspected and pay for the training. Our 2 minutes are up. We need there's no more comments. We need to close the public hearing.
Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Okay, we need to vote. Someone needs to make a motion either to approve or not to approve the tanning and facilities, the ordinance.
I would vote to have another public hearing, more thought, more comment.
We need to vote yes or no on this one.
All right, and I'll get to that.
Okay.
If we have another one, then I will vote to in favor of this ordinance.
I will second in favor of this ordinance.
So you're both voting yes?
We're both voting yes.
Okay. No. So that's the first reading, right?
Okay, yes, that's the first reading. Next reading will be next week.
Okay. Okay, accounts payable, $854,732.58.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. we have a resolution appointing a conservation director to represent Des Moines County in dealing with the United States Department of Agriculture.
Chris, can I talk to them?
Chris?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you want to address this?
Yeah, so this is a formality. It's a request from the USDA office, the Farm Services Agency. We have on some of our parks, we participate in some USDA programs. So we have tenant farmers on a couple of them. They have some conservation reserve program acres on some of the acres that they rent out. And so therefore we are tied to some USDA programs. In order for me to sign some of the papers, they requested a resolution from the County Board of Supervisors that allows me to go in and sign, rather than every time a form needs to be signed to bring it to you guys in a formal meeting and have every little tiny document approved through a formal meeting. We've done this before with previous directors. They found a resolution that had appointed Jeff Bergman in the past to sign for these type of stuff. My interest is only in stuff that applies to our parks. And so I think it states in that resolution that Des Moines County Conservation participates in some of these programs. And so that's really all we're requesting, is to just allow me to sign for those type of programs and those, you know, annual reports and things like that that need to be done for some of our farm programs that we participate in on our parks.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
I move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a proposal for professional engineering services for Des Moines County Bridge H13 FHWA 144050. This would be you, Brian, I'm guessing.
Sounds like me. This is probably a bit more exploratory than a typical bridge contract for us. We don't have the funds to go do this bridge immediately by any means. There's been some talk of some bridge funding, almost I'd call it theoretical. Through this whole COVID stuff, they've talked about transportation funding and possible stuff coming from the feds. Nothing has materialized. But we've gone ahead and started to look at the environmental side of this bridge, and we're going to go ahead and have the consultant work on some preliminary work on this. It very well may just halt right there, at least until sometime in the future. But so I recommend approval of this, and we'll kind of ease our way into this, and nothing will come to fruition anytime soon. It's just simply, it's a structure that we don't really have the funding for. It's just something we want to keep an eye out, and maybe some funding will come along we can take advantage of above and beyond what we already have.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Thanks for being proactive, Brian.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, there's all sorts of conversation about possible funding, but possible funding isn't real funding, and so we'll That's the bridge that spans what they call the big ditch up in the bottoms. I guess you gave the number and everything else, but that's up in the north bottoms on 40th Avenue. It's, I want to say roughly 300 foot long.
Perfect. when you look at it, it doesn't even look safe, but it is.
It is. It is. It's safe. It hurts me you say that, Joe. But no, it's
yeah.
It's fine. It's just we're always looking. I mean, it would probably surprise people how far in advance we're looking. So.
Okay, we have personnel actions. We have a personnel action for the auditor's office. Kathy Hausman, clerk 2, 12-month step increase. Previous rate was $31,133.96. The new rate is $31,817.25.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have a personnel action for secondary roads. Travis Massner, a seasonal worker. Same as last week, it says termination as of August 13th, but I believe it's just going back to school, right?
Yep, one of our shop summer kids is probably, I believe his classes started yesterday. So we'll have our other shop kid probably on the agenda next week, I'm guessing, depending on when his last day is.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Then we have a personnel action for local health. Samantha Sweeney, a new hire nurse at the salary of $49,671.33.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. I can step back for a moment. We have the sheriff here now, and I can ask him if he has anything he'd like to add to departmental reports.
No, Tom, I don't have a thing.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for asking.
Hard to sneak by, Sheriff.
Sheriff?
It's all good.
After me, I'd like to talk to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, we have reports. We have the clerk of courts report of fees collected in July 2020. We have the recorder's report of fees collected for July 2020 and the Veterans Affairs report for July of 2020. Each of these reports will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. Either in person or electronically. We have minutes for the regular meeting. August 11th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Any other business? I have none. Future agenda items.
I have none.
None.
Committee reports.
I had a Russ meeting. Things went pretty smooth. We got one of our little birds there, turned them into the tax, you know, for putting the lien on the property tax to get the money out of them. So, and we sent out notices to all of them, and we had five of them. Three of them came in and paid, and they got the notes updated. So outside of that, things are going good. We just don't want another Mount Union.
Imagine not.
Yeah. I had a Board of Health meeting today that I did not go to. I was in Cedar Rapids at a cleanup effort, and I was going to call in, but I was about 10 minutes ahead of the meeting and I was in the line of traffic. Was it very unforgiving? So I blew that one off.
I attended the Southeast Iowa Mental Health Region Advisory and Governance Boards. And we approved claims and a transportation contract with the South Iowa Area Crime Commission. And we discussed how best to market mental health services to increase the public's awareness of how to access those services. A lot of people that need those services don't know where or how to access that, so that'll be an ongoing discussion. And as just somebody mentioned, the CARES Act and the Southeast Iowa Mental Health Region got their $1.5 million check from the federal government yesterday for the CARES Act, which they will be glad to see. And I attended a meeting of the Joint Safety Committee. We have at the annual election of officers received our first look at the fiscal 20 annual report and gave the safety director an excellent performance evaluation. So congratulations on that, Angie.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And that's all I have.
That CARES Act was something that was scheduled?
Yeah, I think they've been expecting it for a while, these checks in the mail.
Yeah. It's not my fault.
You don't know, but I believe it was yesterday when it showed up. So that was
Tom, I watched a movie, I don't know, it was a couple nights ago called The American Tragedy. It's got that Dennis Klebold's mother in it. And they talk about everything that happened and the different things they're doing. And they've got a program they've started in out there in Colorado, and she's been involved in it because of the mental health issues, where they've got an entire school that is set up. They're doing the regular training, but when it comes to physical fitness like PE, they also do mental fitness. So they're teaching these kids, starting at like age 7, how to calm their brains, how to think about their mental health. And they're teaching that as part of their physical health from a very young age, hoping that this will make a difference. I thought I'd let you guys know about it because I thought it was very interesting, and it'd definitely be interesting to see how that turns out.
There's a school in, it's been a while, I believe Cedar Rapids, either junior high or junior high, six. They went, what do they call it, these, some of the kids were a colored vest, I don't know whether it's red or green or what it might be. And anyway, if you have anybody in that school that's uncomfortable or having any sort of crisis, they can approach another young person that has received a little bit of training and so and supposedly that's worked very well. So I apologize, it's been a few months since I've heard the details of that. Sort of among the cobwebs to find that.
That sounds like a good program.
Yeah. Thanks, Angie. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to make any comments, you can email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com, or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We will wait 2 minutes to give anyone an opportunity to contact the board if they'd like.
You know, I think the kids have a harder time growing up in this time and age than what I did when I grew up. There were so many family things we did when we were younger.
Yeah.
And I don't think you see a lot of that anymore.
No, it is. And I think a lot of parents put it on the schools to, you know, help raise my kids. And that's, you know, that wasn't the way it happened when we were kids. You know, our parents raised us and the schools were just a very small part of it. But the training that they were doing, it was really interesting. They were teaching them how to calm their brain and how to, you know, they'd ask the kids how many thoughts are going through your mind right now? You know, little kids. They called it monkey brain, so they teach them how to calm the monkey brain and only use so many, you know, breathing techniques and all kinds of different techniques that they were teaching them. But
I grew up in a small town, Minneapolis, up here, and I got raised by the whole town, not just my parents. And that makes a difference.
Yeah, you knew you'd be held accountable, whoever saw you.
Yeah, and if you got in trouble at school, you got more trouble than you know.
Yep, oh, yeah.
It wasn't school's fault.
They're teaching my 3-4-year-old granddaughter, when she gets, loses her temper, she's supposed to stomp 3 times before she does anything. That works about like you'd expect.
There you go.
She gets that from her grandmother.
Oh.
Bob?
Sarah?
We're just waiting 2 minutes.
I'd like everybody to remember that Tom Broker and myself and a number of other people in this town were regularly beaten by our teachers when we were in school.
And not nearly hard enough.
I'm by my mama.
Beaten is wrong word.
I was up.
Depending on the teacher.
You mean you was as bad as he was?
He was worse. Nobody was worse than Bob. With an eye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned.